I've been asked to announce that all shiurim this week are dedicated by Mel David in loving memory of his beloved father, Avraham M. David, Zal Avraham Meir ben Mordechai, on the occasion of his 47th Yuritzite, Shetehei Nishmato Tzura Bitzor HaChayim. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk lived from 1865 to 1935, of course, the first Ashkenazic chief rabbi of then British Mandatory Palestine, was, as you all know, a great religious leader, a visionary, a profound thinker, and he possessed the soul of a mystic and the pen of a poet. His writings and his thought, which synthesizes very deep philosophical and religious and political and mystical ideas, are often expressed in pure poetry, as we'll see this morning. And drawing on our rich tradition and his command of Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire corpus of Jewish literature, Rav Kook, he relates to the challenges of his day, of our day. Rav Kook provides a perspective on the Etgarei HaShaa, the Shelot HaZman. He confronts the changing political landscape, the changing political reality. He confronts the challenges of his day, like the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, assimilation, all of those isms of the 19th and 20th centuries when he lives, and really provides a path, a vision for the return of the Jewish people to their ancestral homeland. And I don't have to belabor the point. You all know how important the thought of Rav Kook is on religious life today, here in the land of Israel and for all of world Jewry. And so I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning. And Bishutchem, I'd like to explore together with you two essays of Rav Kook from Ma'amarei HaRi'iyah, two essays on Pesach, two very unique essays, very interesting and inspiring. At least I find them inspiring. But two essays that I'm sure you'll find are really very relevant to our experience today, having been fortunate to return to the land of Israel and build a state. And the first is called Cheruteinu, and the names of these essays, or the titles that Rav Kook gives them, I think are significant. This first one is called Cheruteinu. Now it's interesting, he calls it our freedom, Cheruteinu. And you see from the title already that he's relating to his contemporary experience, our freedom, now that we have been fortunate to return to the land of Israel. Hacherut she'anu mitrashmim ba biyoter b'leil hitkadesh chag shel zman cheruteinu. The freedom, the liberty, okay, and we'll see that Rav Kook is relating to the changing political landscape and maybe our newfound freedom, maybe in light of the Balfour Declaration. I'm not sure exactly what year this essay was written in, but no, I know when the Balfour Declaration was. I'm not sure exactly when Rav Kook wrote this essay. It could be, most likely it was following the Balfour Declaration, which Rav Kook was certainly very much involved in when he was living in England he got stranded in Europe, as you all know, during because of the outbreak of World War I. And so first he was in Switzerland, and then he was in England, and he was influential in the Balfour Declaration. In any case, he begins, "Hacherut she'anu mitrashmim ba biyoter b'leil hitkadesh chag shel zman cheruteinu." The freedom or liberty that we encounter the most when we encounter this lofty and holy night, Pesach, Chag Pesach, the time of our freedom. Pesach is called Zman Cheruteinu, of course, right? Be'et asher gam be'etzem yimei ha'galut ve'ashibud lo chadalnu me'labia et hitga'aguteinu eileha be'amareinu hashta avdei l'shana haba b'nei chorin. at a time when throughout the days of the exile and shibud, oppression, okay, bondage, we talk about the bondage and slavery, the shibud in Mitzrayim, but here he's relating to the shibud of being in galut, in being in exile all those years, all those centuries. It did not prevent us from expressing our longing when we said, Hashta avdei l'shana haba b'nei chorin. Now here he's drawing on, of course, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. The Haggadah Shel Pesach opens with Halach Ma'anya. Interesting, which is written in what language? Aramaic. The language of Galut, the language of exile. The Haggadah Shel Pesach begins in Aramaic to draw our attention to the fact that we are still in exile. And maybe the way we can relate to the exile in Egypt is by relating to our contemporary exile. That's a theme woven throughout the text of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Rabban Gamliel in the Mishnah in Psachim instructs that one is obligated to see himself as if he is leaving Egypt. Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. Well, how do you do that? How do you feel that? How do you go from the feeling of exile to redemption, from slavery to freedom? Well, maybe one way to experience that is by relating to our contemporary exile, our current galut, our current oppression, and long and pray and hope towards the future redemption. So certainly that's a theme in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and that's a theme that Rav Kook here is drawing on when we say, now we are slaves. Next year, may we be free men. What are we saying, right? We're no longer slaves. We're not slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. We're living in Echvez, Jerusalem. It's certainly all the more ironic to be saying this in Jerusalem. But Jews, whether they're in New York or in Miami or in Los Angeles, they'll be saying this. And they're not slaves, except we are not yet free men. We recognize at the beginning of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we're not yet free men because we are still in exile. We're not in the exile of Egypt, but we are in our contemporary exile. So we perhaps access those feelings of pain and exile and servitude and slavery and bondage by relating to our contemporary exile. And what Rav Kook is saying is that for generations at the Seder night, on Chag Pesach, Zman Cherutenu, the time of our redemption, we expressed our longing and our recognition that we are in exile. Hi muchrachat liot holechet umitpatachat bekirbenu pnima madrega achar madrega. Ad asher yavo hayom asher yanusu hatzlalim. So we are obligated and forced to experience this longing that we've always expressed on Pesach, at the Seder, at Zman Cheruteinu, as it grows within us, Shlav, shlav, madrega, achar, madrega. Ad asher yavo hayom, until the day will come, asher yanusu hatzlalim, when the shadows will dissipate. He is drawing on a pasuk from Shir Hashirim Perek Dalet here. V'cheirutenu hamuchletet ta'ir aleinu be'ora hamalei ke'etzem hashamayim latohar. Until the true and complete freedom, right, will shine forth, shine upon us in all of its light and splendor, like the very pure heavens. Okay, again, I said Rav Kook possessed the pen of a poet. You see, his essay here is very poetic. He uses very poetic Hebrew. Sometimes we struggle with it, so I'll be breaking my teeth on his Hebrew here this morning. You'll have to help me. He's saying we come to the Seder table on Chag HaPesach, the time of our freedom, the time of our redemption, and we are forced to confront the reality that we are not yet truly free, and yet we long and express, as Jews have done for centuries, the hope and prayer that we will one day be truly free and our freedom will shine forth in all of its glory and splendor. That's what he begins with here. Aval, However, litlamed anu tzrichim eich lesagel lanu et oto haruach hagadol shel chayrut asher zarach aleinu. Amnam betkufot hamirot shelanu. But we have to ask and we have to teach ourselves, really. That's what he's saying here. We have to become accustomed or learn how, really, to acquire this great spirit of freedom, which has in the past shone on us during our glorious periods, let's call them the golden ages of Jewish history, b'tkufot hamirot shelanu, v'asher yatsa kevarak notzeitz behofata shel hagula harishona, gulat Mitzrayim, which came forth like a shimmering and sparkling bolt of lightning with that first redemption, the redemption from Egypt, asher nigla alinu melech malchei hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which God, the King of Kings, revealed b'chvodo hagadol, with his great honor, v'kirvanu lavadato shehi cheruteinu hagmura, and he brought us close to his service, which is true freedom. V'heirim otanu mishifluta shel ha'avdut hanochriya asher shavahi avduta avodata. And then he raised us up from the depths, from the lowliness of that service in Egypt. Okay, so again, Rav Kook is drawing on the experience of redemption in Egypt. And he's drawing on the experience of redemption in Egypt in order to relate to our contemporary exile and our future redemption, which, as we'll see for Rav Kook, is revealing itself slowly. It's beginning to appear, kim'ah, kim'ah, slowly, slowly, like the sun rises from the horizon, like the dawn breaks, we'll see, okay? And then he asks, "Ketzad anachnu tzrichim lahavin et otah hacherut hamiyuchada shelanu, v'ketzad yefshar lanu lihistageli leha b'mitziut hachayim." And here now he turns, as I said, to our contemporary experience. How do we relate? How do we understand this newfound freedom? Now, Rav Kook here is referring to the fact that after 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years of exile, the Jewish people are returning to their borders. And while they have yet to achieve sovereignty, Rav Kook saw that already in the works. He saw the process of redemption had already begun, and asks the question, now, how do we relate to that? How do we relate to and understand this unique freedom, which all of a sudden we have, okay, in the Mitziut HaChayim. This is the reality of our lives today. Ubiyichud keitzad nat'im et midat ha'cherut hazot lemitzadei chayenu ha'chadashim shebrakei cherut le'umiyut matchilim la'ir aleinu b'zoharam. This is an incredible line. And specifically, how do we adjust or reconcile this? How do we relate to this freedom as now our footsteps are the footsteps of this new life, right? We're walking on this soil, and the lightning bolts of national freedom, okay, begin to appear and begin to illuminate in all of their glory and splendor, b'chasdei tzur Yisrael goaleinu me'olam baruch hu, because of the great kindness of our rock, our redeemer, the redeemer and rock of Israel, Hashem, blessed be he. So here Rav Kook is asking, you know, we ask, what is freedom? And certainly, I think in the Rekha here, the background, Rav Kook has in mind all of the freedoms, the newfound freedoms that the Jew faced in the modern world when the walls of the shtetl, so to speak, fell, and all of a sudden the Jew achieved emancipation, and the Jew could be a citizen and travel freely and be a man of the world and be educated and go to university and enter into all sorts of businesses and professions, and he's no longer bound by the constrictions or restrictions of living in the Pale of Settlement, shtetl life, a traditional lifestyle. He's exposed to all the new, as I put it, the isms of the, let's call it, 18th and 19th and now 20th centuries when Rav Kook is writing. So how do you make sense of that freedom? And certainly in light of the fact that, as I said, after 2,000 years, we've returned to our land, and now we have this freedom to live on our land. Okay, certainly this is before we achieved sovereignty, but Rav Kook already saw the stages of redemption taking place, coming. Kima, kima. Ha-hevdel, now this is an important paragraph. Ha-hevdel shebein ha-eved uben ha-chorin. What's the difference between a slave and a free man? Einenu rak hevdel ma'amadi. It's not merely a difference in status, right? You might say, well, the slave, he doesn't own anything, doesn't own any land. In fact, he is owned by his master. He is property. Whereas the free man, he has rights and liberties, and he has his freedoms, and he can move about as he wishes, and he's not beholden to anyone. So that is a difference in status. But Rav Kook points out that the difference between a slave and a free man is not merely in status. Right? It's not only based on his, let's say, you know, socioeconomic status, right? But it is mental. Freedom is a state of mind. Mashe b'mikre zeh hu mishibud l'acher, v'zehu bilti mishubad. Right? You could say, well, one in this case, right? One is bound to another. He is owned by another, and the other, right, the free man, he is not bound, he is not enslaved. However, Rav Kook writes, you can find someone who's a slave, but his soul, his spirit is free. And just the opposite. And sometimes you can find free men who are enslaved. You can have someone who's imprisoned, but he feels free. He's behind bars, he's shackled, yet he feels free. In fact, Natan Sharansky said that when he was in the Russian Gulag, he felt freer than his captors. He felt freer than those guards. He had his little book of Tehillim or his Tanakh, and he had his mind and his hopes and prayers, and that kept him strong. And he said that he felt freer than his captors. Okay, freedom is a state of mind, and sometimes you can have a ben chorin, a free man, Rav Kook writes, whose spirit is that of a slave. Maybe he's enslaved to his job, his money. Okay, hacherut hatzivyonit. He ota haruach hanisa'a she'adam v'chein ha'am bichlalo mitromem al yada liot ne'eman la'atzmiut la'atzmiut hapnimit shelo. But real freedom, real liberty, is this exalted spirit that either as an individual or maybe as a nation, is somehow uplifted through it. Al yada. Liot ne'eman la'atzmiut ha'pnimit shelo, la'tchuna ha'nafshit shel tzelem Elokim asher b'kirbo. To be this true inner feeling, this characteristic of soul, of being created in the image of God, or feeling in their soul that image of God that we are created in, that Tzelem Elokim asher b'kibo, within him. B'tchuna kazot efshar lo lahargish et chayav b'tor chayim megamatim shehem shavim et erkam. And it's through that spirit of true freedom, one feels that their life has a purpose and value. Ma she'en kein b'val haruach shel avdut, as opposed to someone who is enslaved to the spirit of avdut, enslavement, bondage. Shelolam ein tochin chayav v'hargashato meurim b'tchunato hanafshit ha'atzmit
כי אם במה שהוא יפה וטוב אצל האחר השולט עליו, איזה שליטה שהיא, בין שהיא רשמית, בין שהיא מוסרית, במה שאותו האחר מוצא שהוא יפה ושהוא טוב. Because he's completely dependent on another. It's not up to him, right, to decide what is good, what is beautiful. He's dependent on his captor, so to speak, or on his master, really, if we're talking about a slave. And, you know, for me, this evokes the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, who are described as being unable to hear Hashem's promise of redemption because of the backbreaking labor, but also because of the kotzer ruach, the shortness of breath. They somehow were limited with this shortness of breath, shortness of spirit. Egypt, ad kedei kach, had some sort of spiritual stranglehold on them. The Jewish people were being suffocated spiritually in Eretz Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is related to the word, as many explain, meitzar, a constriction. There's some sort of constriction taking place. They're being constrained, limited. They could not see. Someone who's enslaved, whether a literal slave, like the slavery in Egypt, or throughout world history, when people are enslaved, they're focused on just their immediate needs, their immediate concerns. They can't think about any lofty ideas. It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. They're just focused on survival. That was the Jewish people in Egypt. They were just focused on survival, so they couldn't even hear Hashem's promise of redemption. The kotzer ruach called, it caused that promise of redemption to fall on deaf ears, so to speak. That was the meitzar, the constriction in Egypt. They were constrained. That's what Rav Kook is saying. And so too, in the next paragraph, he says, us, v'anachnu kvushe hagalut. What about us throughout all the generations? Here, Baruch Hashem, we've returned to our land, but we are still in exile, and we are captives. Kvushe hagalut, captives in exile. Shekol kach harbe meod b'shanim hayinu mishubadim bidei adonim kashim. So many centuries, so many years, hundreds of years, we were enslaved by the hands of very, very cruel masters. Lulei pnimiot nishmatenu ha'elyona hasfuga ruach shel chayrut, ruach shel hakara atzmit pnimit. And if it weren't for the inner workings of our soul, the depths of our soul, this our lofty souls, who were able to absorb this ruach shel chayrut, the spirit of freedom, ruach shel hakara atzmit pnimit, a spirit of recognition and consciousness of ourselves, our innermost selves. And then he interestingly draws on the Mishnah from the sixth perek of Masechet Avot, right? The Mishnah, which describes how it begins with a pasuk. What does the Mishnah say? Yeah, I'll pull up the Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes the pasuk, which we read not too long ago, from Parshat Kitisa, Valuchot Maasei Elokim Hema, V'michtav Michtav Elokim Hu, Charut Al Haluchot. The tablets were a working of Hashem, the handiwork of Hashem. The writing on them was the writing of God. It was charut al haluchot, inscribed on the tablets, right? The Torah uses this word charut, inscribed. So the Mishnah says, al tikra charut ela chayrut. Don't read engraved or inscribed. Rather, read the word as chayrut, free. She'en lecha ben chorin ela misho sek betalmud Torah. For there is no one who is as free as he who is engaged in the study of Torah. So what Rav Kook is saying is that the study of Torah and Torah and the mitzvot, that was our sustaining strength in the exile. And were it not for that, we would have been lost. Lulei zot hamatana hanifla'a shelanu shenitna lanu me'az. Were it not for this incredible, wondrous gift that we were given Back then at Har Sinai, Be'et Tzeitenu L'Cheirut Olam, Miyad Paro Melech Mitzrayim, when we left for real freedom, eternal freedom, when we left the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Lulezo, without that Haita Galut Yechola, La'foch Ruchenu B'Kirbenu L'Ruach Shel Avadim. Without that Ruach, the exile, that crushing exile could have turned the spirit of our souls into the spirit of slaves. Again, Rav Kook, he contrasts the slave with the free man. What does it mean to be free? It means to understand in the deepest depths of one's soul that you are free, ad kedekach, so that even if you are in exile, you understand that you're still free. He writes, there are slaves that feel free, and there are free men that feel enslaved. What's the difference? Again, as I said, freedom is a state of mind, but what Rav Kook is writing here is that the Torah was that sustaining strength that sustained us through all those years of harsh exile. And if it were not for that, we would have indeed been turned into slaves. But the Torah, which penetrated into the deepest depths of our soul, reminded us that we are free men even in slavery. Okay? Aval hinenu mafginim bazeh berochav lev. And yes, we give expression to this. Here we are now, and we give expression to this with the full expanses of our heart. Bechag zman cherutenu, on Pesach, this holiday, the time of our freedom. Ki be'emet hinenu chashim et atzmenu b'nei chorin. Because we truly feel like free men in the very depths of our essence, at our very core. Va'ashifa hanetzelet shelanu el hatov ve'al hanizgav hi etzlenu hashifa ha'atzmit shelanu. And this lofty aspiration that towards the good and the sublime, it's our very essence. Shanu chashim biruchenu pnima, which we feel in our souls, in our spirit, in our inner spirit, mahu hatov, umahu ha ne'ela. Just how good and how lofty this is. Ulor hacherut hazeh, and in light of this freedom, hacherut hapnimit haolechet umitgale bekirbenu ka'et b'mitzadei tchiyatenu. Now he turns again and relates to our contemporary situation, and in light of this. Redemption, in light of this freedom, this inner freedom that keeps growing within us, at the time when b'mitzadei tchiyatenu halu'umit, when we are walking on our land, when we have returned to our land, we are witnessing the restoration and restoration and resurrection of a nation. Al kol panim b'shiurim mugbalim lefi ha'erech shel. But it's limited, right? Here, we think we are free. In fact, the pioneers, the individuals who came during the second Aliyah and built up what this country would become, built up drained the swamps, and built the kibbutzim and built the moshavot, right? What are they called? Chalutzim. What does the word chalutz mean? Pioneer. But at its core, right, what if, chalitza, right? This procedure called chalitza. If you don't do yibum, you do chalitza. What does it mean? Lachalotz. To release, to take off, right? We remove the shoe, right? We take off the shoe. We remove the shoe in chalitza. Chalutz is a pioneer, but it's also a free man. He's removed from the yoke and from the oppression of living in exile. So I think what Rav Kook is saying here is people today, when Rav Kook is writing in the early 20th century, they've come back home and they think they are free men, right? But we have to recognize that our freedom is limited. It's coming in stages. Rak kim'a kim'a. Like the Yerushalmi says in Brachot, there are parallel passages elsewhere in Safrut Chazal, that the redemption will come like the break of dawn, slowly, kim'ah kim'ah, nataf achar nataf, right? What we might say tip-tipa in modern Hebrew, drop after drop. La'ora ha'pnimi shel ha'cherut, ha'atzmit hazot, nasa v'neilech la'havlit yoter v'yoter et atzmauteinu ha're'anana ha'pnimit. In order to what? The light, the inner light, to reveal the inner light of our inner freedom and our essence, which only begins now to give rise and go and become more prominent and more prominent until our true freedom, atzmauteinu haren, our revived and fresh inner freedom, ota shekaninu al yedei gilui shechina, which we will acquire with the revelation of the divine providence, the shechina, the divine presence. Ota hacherut shekaninu al yedei hapela agadol hayachid ba'ulam, shenaseh imanu be'et asher ge'alanu Hashem yitbarach. This freedom that we will acquire, or that we have acquired through this great miracle that Hashem caused us with our redemption, shenaseh imanu be'et asher ge'alanu Hashem yitbarach v'gal et avoteinu mimitzrayim l'cherut olam, who had redeemed our forefathers from Egypt for eternal freedom. He's drawing on again the Nusach of the Haggadah in closing. But what he's saying is the following. At Pesach, when we relate to the exile and slavery in Egypt, but also the future redemption, right? We get a taste of what the Geula will be like, what the final redemption will be like, which for Rav Kook is taking place in front of our very eyes, slowly, slowly. And so what he's saying is, you know, don't think that Chirut is something that is, you know, some sort of external thing, that the Jewish people will be granted permission to return to their homeland, the Jewish people will be given a state. But Chirut, true freedom at its very essence, has to come from here, has to come from our spirit, our soul, our very essence. True freedom was all of those years in exile before we were fortunate to return to our land. True freedom was being involved in Torah, okay? And at Pesach, when we sit at the Seder and we talk about freedom and we talk about redemption, right? Rav Kook is saying this is taking place slowly before our very eyes, okay? But this next essay, Halayla Hazek Kulanu Misubin, Rav Kook warns that it's not so simple. It's not so simple. And here again, he relates to what he was seeing in front of his eyes with the Chalutzim, the pioneers, the Zionists, many who had left the world of Torah and Mitzvot, many who had thrown off the yoke of Torah and Mitzvot, in favor of communism, socialism, Zionism, all those isms, in favor of those newfound freedoms. This essay is called Halayla Hazek Kulanu Misubin. This evening we all recline. Also comes from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, right? One of the four questions. Halayla Hazek Kulanu Misubin. And he sort of plays on this theme of reclining. In order to recline, right, that means you're kind of in a stationary position. You might say in a supine position if you're reclining, right? If you are reclining, you're not moving about. Ha'adama talush, detached man. Zohi hazva'a hayoter machrida et hanishama. That is the greatest terror which frightens the soul, to be detached. What does it mean to be detached? Without a place. Hadam uchrachu, sheyelo ma'amad, u'shema'amado yeh bilti mitnoded. human nature is such, a person needs to be stationary. A person needs a place. A person needs some balance in life, right? Person, it's not good to be all over the place, to be mitnoded, right? To be wavering from one thing to the next, to be on shaky ground. A person needs to be on firm ground. Mahu ikar tsarata. But what is, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a word. Yeah. Hagalut. Mahu ikar tsarata. Being in exile, what is the essence of the evil of exile? Heve omer, I would say hatlishut, detachment. He's saying human nature is such that we need to be grounded. We need to be grounded. What is so dangerous and painful about the galut that we are not grounded? Adam, okay. Iyum ma'od hadavar. Shadam margish shem bimuvan yadua v'ikari harei hu talush mitnoded porech ba'avir. Emdato al habasis ha-tivi al gabei ha-karka einena emda klal. The greatest fear, the greatest threat for a person is where he feels that what? That he is detached, that he is wandering, that he is in the, you know, he's flying in the sky, in the wind, meaning he needs to be grounded. On the ground, al gabe karka inena emda klal mipnei she'en hakarka shelo mipnei shebechol yichusha inena kinyano velo kinyan amo. If you're in exile, though, right, you're not grounded. You are the wandering Jew, and he says that's the greatest threat. And to feel that what that you're not grounded, and that you personally and your nation. Right, both in your personal life and in your national life, you have no kinyan, no holding, you know, nothing grounding you. And then he quotes the Gemara in Yevamot, "Kol adam she'in lo karka eino adam." Any individual who doesn't have land is not called a man. Gemara bases that on a pasuk in Tehilim, "Hashamayim shamayim la'Hashem va'aretz natan livnei adam." Ha'aretz natan livnei adam. To be an adam is to have land. What does it mean to have land? For Rav Kook, he's understanding this metaphorically, right? Not just, you know, it's good to have property, you know, it's good to buy an apartment, invest in real estate, but it means that, you know, Rav Kook understands it metaphorically that you need to be grounded. Zoti hatzarat sarat adorot shel Yisrael me'az galah me'artzo me'az nadad bagoyim. And this is the pain, this is the challenge, this is the tragedy of the exile, of all these generations of the Jewish people, from when they were exiled from their land and now had to wander about among the nations. Okay? So what Rav Kook is saying is human nature is such that we need to be grounded. A person needs to feel grounded. And what is so painful about the exile? We are not grounded. We are the wandering Jew. Amnam b'matzav shel tlishut, lo dai shekashe lechayot, ela shebemuvan haklali v'adori e'efshar klal itkayem. It's not just that it's difficult to live, but it's impossible, he says, to maintain a kiyum, to survive. V'al kein chok histori hu. And you see this, and he writes, and this is so obvious and so evident, that the rules of history are such, shehakibutzim atlushim avad shmam v'zichram, so many different groups of individuals throughout human history have completely lost their name and their memory in a short amount of time, if you look at the bigger picture, right? So many, I would say, ancient civilizations. He's talking about groups, small groups, but ancient civilizations who are no longer. And they are, what, just a part of the dustbin of history. They are relegated to the dustbin of history. Ach bepele, lemala mikol anahug b'chukei ha-kiyum shel kol ha-amim, am Yisrael chai ad ko v'itkayem. But somehow, miraculously, against all odds, against the rules of human history, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, have survived. Im gam kiyum shel tsar umachovim, even despite all their challenges and punishments and pain and oppression, all that we've endured, all the suffering that we've endured, gam b'matzav tlishuto, and even in their place of being uprooted, which again for Rav Kook is so unnatural. The human condition is such we need to be grounded, and the greatest pain of the exile is that we are uprooted, he writes. And so against all odds, being uprooted and having survived all sorts of oppression and all that we've endured, we are miraculously here against all odds, whereas so many other peoples and nations are long gone, relegated to the dustbin of history. Ve'lo od ela she'hereg vurot biruchu hagadol gam bechol ha'ma'avrim ha'shonim shel galuyot kishanu danin ledat ma'u ha'koach asher al yado hitgaber al ha'tzara ha'yama shel tlishu teve omer. So he said the following, and if you ask, right, you know, like, how have we survived, and what has been the strength that has caused us to overcome this being displaced, this tlishut? I would say, Eve Omer, you could say, Shemeaz kanalo ha'ama nifla ze mitzut kfula, umemela gam ma'amad kaful, the karka ruchanit betucha. Because we, this nation, this miraculous nation, has what? A double identity. It's both what? Physical grounding and spiritual grounding. And this is how it's maybe related to the previous essay of Rav Kook's that we saw, Shehi Matza'i Tan Lishmato, that somehow this nation has collected strength for its soul, Asher Ota Lakach Imo Gam Bechol Yimei Nidudav Ha'aretz Haruchanit Ha'atzilit Ha'alyona Zot Hi Torat Hashem. This strength that this nation has collected for its soul, that has sustained it, and they've taken it with them through all their days of wandering through all the lands, spiritually, that is Torat Hashem. What has sustained the Jews spiritually in the exile? Torat Hashem. HaTorah, Torat Chayav, Asher Kasharota, Imrucho, Kesher Bal Yinatek. This Torah is a Torah of life, which is bound in a way that cannot be separated from the Jewish people. He asher itzila oto mitlishuto hachomarit shelo tashpia alav ad lezavat kilyon. And that has that sustaining strength, that Torah has saved them and protected them from being that physical detachment, that it not impact them until the point where they are destroyed. What Rav Kook is saying is, and this is a theme throughout the thought of Rav Kook, that Eretz Yisrael is the body of the Jewish people, but the Torah is its soul. So how have we survived being detached from our body? How have we survived physical detachment all those centuries in the exile? By being connected to the Torah. There's the body, which is the land, and then there is the soul, which is the Torah. And so Rav Kook writes that what prevented us from destruction during all of those centuries in exile, that was the Torah Hashem. That is the sustaining strength of the Jewish people. V'hayom, and now Rav Kook relates to the challenges of his day. And today, Ka'asher anu baruch Hashem holchim v'shavim l'artzenu. Now that we are returning to our land, Rav Kook writes, holchim u'mitkashrim l'basis shel mitziut ha'emdatit. We are returning to the basis, to that core, right? Kisheraglenu matchilot laderech, or lidroch al admatenu anu. Now that our legs are beginning to traipse and to walk on our land, al ota ha'adama admat kodesh, on that very same holy land, sheinenu margishim bechol chushenu shimitzuka tachat pa'amenu, which we feel with all of our feelings that this is solid ground under our footsteps. Again, you know, this essay, Rav Kook, he calls it Halayla Hazek Kulanu Misubin, and he begins by talking about grounding. How every human being needs to feel grounded, and it's true for us as individuals, and it's true for us as a nation. And now that we are returning to our body, the body of Israel, which is the land, and we feel that firm, solid grounding underneath our feet, Ki Bivrit Hashem Brit Olam Asher La'ad Lo Tamut. Because of the covenant that Hashem has with us, which will never shake, never be shaken. Hikshura imanu kesher olam hinenu holchim umitrapim mimachala tlishatenu hagalutit. we are now again walking and healing from that illness that is the exile, the illness of being detached, the detachment of the exile. Umitoch hachelek hamavrish shel am, and part of that process of healing for the nation, hachelek haolech mitkasher im artzo v'im yitzikat emdato. This part of this process of returning to our land and feeling that solidness, that sturdiness underneath our feet, that feeling of grounding. Hinenu marifim risisei amda ubriut gufa hagoremet gam lenora me'alia, which will ultimately bring about a great light. L'cholam Yisrael hagoy kulo hamitpalel tamid derech artzo. For all of Israel, the entire nation that prays towards their land, towards Jerusalem. And then the next paragraph begins with a big word, aval, but. But, in other words, it's not enough to just return physically to your land, you have to return spiritually. To be truly grounded is not just to be standing in the land of Israel with your feet firmly planted on its soil, but you have to be grounded spiritually. That's what Rav Kook is writing here. Aval, but. Hayitachen shebemakom haguf shelanu, haprativ alumi. Is it possible that in this body, which is a land, okay, our body, both as individuals and as a nation, mutzelo matzavli natzel mi meratat lishut, to be saved from this danger of being detached, tishaer dafka haneshama pratit v'kal v'chomer klalit tlusha memdata. Is it possible to still have some sort of detachment? Haneshama Yisraelit kishi porachet ba'avir kishein la yitzikut shel ma'amad ha'chaim b'Torah u'b'mitzvot b'ruach u'b'maase b'sidrei yom yom u'chagigot hayamim ha'chagigyom ha'chagigyum zmanei simcha v'chagei nedava imkom mitzvoteha ha'ananot ha'mesamchot kliot v'alev ha'marninut kol nefesh v'ruach az halo haneshama yitlusha v'kama atzmo. This is an incredible, incredible line. Rav Kook writes, but now that we've returned physically to our land and our feet are firmly planted on its soil, is it possible that we are still detached? Is it possible that the neshama, the soul, is somehow flying in the air, porachat ba'avir, without a solid grounding in Torah and mitzvot? That's what he writes. You see, in order to achieve true grounding, we have to have a harmony of both body and soul. The land of Israel is the body of the Jewish people, but the Torah of Israel is the soul for the Jewish people. And it's not enough to just return to our land as the Zionists, who Rav Kook himself embraced, were doing. But here, Rav Kook is saying you also need to be grounded not only in the land, but you need to be grounded in the Torah to be truly grounded. Because what is redemption? Redemption is being grounded. After all, he writes that exile is detachment. It's this tlisha. It's to be talush, which is so much against our nature as individuals and as a nation, he writes. And without that grounding of the soul, right? So how painful is it? And the kama gadol hu haheres shela, how destructive it is. You know, again, this is a theme in the thought of Rav Kook. You need both. Both have to be in harmony. You need both the physical body of the Jewish people, that's the land of Israel, but you need the soul of the Jewish people. That is the Torah of Israel. And you can't have one without the other. So Rav Kook is critical of those religious Jews who believe that nationalism is some new product of these modern Zionists, right? Because we are not just a religion, but we are a nation that has a land. We are a people that has a land. It's so much part of who we are. And if we have just the soul without the body, we are incomplete. So too, if we have the body without the soul, we are incomplete. Al-Kain, therefore he writes, B'kiflaim niskorna b'layla hazeh. We remember both of these things on this night, at Seder night. B'leil hitkadesh chag cheruteinu. During our holiday of redemption. Ki hinenu ha'am asher afilu b'galuto lo avadet eitan emdato haruchanit. Even in exile, when we were physically detached, but we did not give up that Torah which grounded us, our spiritual grounding, v'alachat kama v'chama b'shuvu el artso, the chason emdato, all the more so, now that we've returned to our land and have that shelter and protection, shu'olechu mitchasein behem, b'chol erkav, ata bevo et l'chenina. Now that we have this time of favor, this time of redemption that is happening before our eyes, Zoti horat ha-heseba. This is this idea of reclining at the Seder, he writes. Matzav shel b'nei chorin shehem kvuim velo tlushim me'urim b'yisod chayehim. True free men who are planted firmly on their soil, both physically, and planted and grounded firmly in Torah spiritually, right? They are what? They are kvuim velo tlushim me'urim b'yisod chayehem ha-mezalef aleihem shefat chayim lirvaya lechol ma'utam legufu neshama lechol hevyatam. They are benefiting from spiritual outpouring to their bodies and their souls, to their very essence and core. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo, ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. Fortunate is the nation who Hashem has and Hashem is their God. And then he ends, halayla hazeh kulanu misubin. This evening, when we experience a taste of true redemption, we are reclining, because to recline means to be grounded. And for Rav Kook, it's not enough to be grounded in the land of Israel with your feet firmly planted on her soil, but you have to be grounded spiritually. Because true spiritual health, true national health for the Jewish people requires both a healthy and revitalized and resurrected body and soul. The soul is the Torah of the Jewish people. That's the soul of the Jewish people. It's Torah Hashem, he writes. That was the sustaining of the strength during, that was our sustaining strength, which sustained us in all those years of the exile during our wanderings. But now that we've returned to our land, it's not merely enough to be grounded in this soil with our feet firmly planted on her soil. But we also have to have our neshama. It's that harmony, that synthesis of both body and soul, both physical and spiritual grounding. Okay, we'll end here. Wish you all a wonderful day and week and Chodesh Tov, and we'll meet Be'ezrat Hashem next Wednesday. Okay. Two very fascinating essays, how Rav Kook relates to Chag HaPesach, and how we taste redemption with Chag HaPesach at the Seder, and how we long towards our future redemption.